The program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flood.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. We're usually taking your questions and comments about the value of your collectibles, but today we have a guest, Mr. Michael Posner, who heads up the MLB authentication program. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Oh, happy to be here. Thank you for bringing me on.
We actually, now the way this developed, I think it was before last week's show, I saw something on Twitter, a picture of Addison Russell's first home run ball with an authentication, little, whatever you would call that, a hologram, I guess you would call it.
Holograms,
from MLB. And I had tweeted that I thought, okay, that would be a valuable baseball. If Addison Russell turns into a big star, his first home run authenticated, that's a valuable baseball. And I had said on the show last week that, now everybody in Wrigley Field, don't throw those baseballs back anymore. You know, those home run balls are valuable. The tradition's dumb, whatever. But then reading Will Levith's article on Esquire.com, I guess you guys actually typically don't authenticate items that end up going into the stands. So that's something I didn't realize. So if you can give us some background on how you started, how long you've been doing it, and how the authentication program works, then we've got a bunch of questions for you afterwards.
Sure. Well, I can jump on the Addison Russell thing first. It was actually, it's somewhat of a fluke, but I guess because the bleachers were still closed due to the construction.
Right.
The area was secure and no one had access there but the security people, so they were able to recover that ball, which, you know, normally we wouldn't have been able to authenticate that ball because there would be fans there. And it's not that we necessarily don't trust people to tell the truth. It's more of the way the system is designed, and to keep it as accurate as possible, we need the authenticators to witness everything as it happens. And as you well know, there are plenty of fans who do throw the balls back onto the field, but what happens is, and we have some videos that we use in training, there are fans that bring other baseballs to the ballpark and they switch them out, so then we don't know which is which. But in the case where a ball goes into a secure area or a bullpen, we can authenticate the ball. And ironically, last night we had the same thing happen with Chris Bryant's first home run, and we were able to authenticate that, get a picture, and tweet that out as well.
Now, two baseballs, now you're able to authenticate them. Yeah, that's right. Bryant's landed kind of in the space between the fans and the wall. But now, once you authenticate those, do you offer them to the player because it's their first home run, or do they go right to the team and the team sells them or keeps them? What happens after you authenticate?
Well, the authentication program is really separate from any of the selling side. It's an independent third party that makes sure everything is done without any pressures from above them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get an item, they authenticate it and give it right back to whoever gives it to them. And usually it's the equipment manager or someone like that who gets it. And then they determine where it goes. In the cases of player first, I'm not aware of any player first that did not go back to the player. So it's very likely that it's just, you know, it was something done to control the ownership of the item so that someone down the line can't say, oh, I have Addison Russell's first home run ball. No, Addison Russell would have it. And he can prove that by having the tamper-proof hologram on it.
Now, if Addison Russell decides 10 years from now, you know what, I don't really care. I'm not a collector. I'm going to put this in a Huggins and Scott auction. Then there's no problem doing that. You've got the database with the info for MLB, and Huggins and Scott could auction that item, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, we would be happy and to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Exactly. And you know, the whole process, getting back to the earlier question, the whole process started off of Operation Bullpen, which was the FBI sting program that I think ended up in about 34 successful prosecutions of forged autographs. And, you know, at that time, they said between 75 and 90% of all autographs out in the market at that point were fake. And I can tell you, as someone who personally has been a collector since my first autograph in spring training back when I was 12 years old, you know, I have items in my collection that are questionable, and they're questionable because the FBI shut down one of the places I was buying stuff from.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, we realize that there's a problem. And as leader in sports memorabilia as a sport, we really needed to take a position that helped protect our fans, helped protect the players and the clubs, because obviously everyone was getting ripped off. And the idea of the authentication program was born. And what was really important for us was two things. One, needed to get rid of certificates of authenticity, because if I'm going to forge a Chris Bryant signature, I could just as easy for me to forge a piece of paper that says it's real. And the other part was to come up with a hologram that was completely tamper-proof. So if you tried to move it from one ball to another and then say that this fake ball was the actual Addison Russell first home run ball, it would actually destroy the hologram, and then you would destroy the authenticity of the real item. And you'd basically be ripping off yourself at that point, because now you have absolutely nothing. So the technology back in early 2000, with both the holograms and then the internet becoming more and more of a presence in everyone's lives, really made this possible, where, you know, in the late 90s, early 90s, it really would not have been something that people could have done. But the technology now is in place for us to do this, and we've run with it since 2001.
And there will be occasions where you will be there for instance, a championship team sign ball or whatever also, correct?
Absolutely. And what's funny is I think the program really started more for the autograph side and to really, for lack of a better word, clean up that area and make sure that people had a reliable system where there was someone who was an independent third party who wasn't selling the item, who had no stake in the game other than their own integrity. And that kind of said, all right, so this person was there at such and such signing. So, you know, Chris Bryant signing in 2 weeks and one of our partners is involved. We'll have an authenticator sitting there, and he will watch Chris Bryant sign all those items, and whatever item is signed goes right to them to put the hologram on. So it's a complete 100% witnessing program. There's no training involved other than the fact to get them through the basic procedures, but it's not someone saying, in my opinion, this is a Chris Bryant signature, or someone else telling them they saw Chris Bryant sign it. It is a direct witnessing process.
Now, let's say you had a Cubs signed baseball from today, the team that's there today, and it's a 2015 signed baseball, and then in 2 months Javier Baez or somebody else makes the team, and whoever got that baseball, that somebody won that baseball in an auction by the team, and they decide to get Javier Baez to sign that ball. Now, your database, the way from I'm guessing, you wouldn't update the database if he got that signed unless an MLB authenticator was there when he got that ball signed. Is that correct?
Correct.
But if there was one of your guys there, then you would update your database. So if somebody looked at that number and punched it in on your website on the database, it would show the additional name on there.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the great pieces of flexibility of the program, is that that hologram being permanent, being affixed on the item, allows us to append the item anytime something's added. And it is not unusual where we have fans who will get a game used ball, let's say, from a game that a player went 3-for-4 with 2 home runs, and then through one of our partners have that item sent in, have the player do a whole inscription with it, and it will show you, obviously, when you enter the hologram into the system, it'll say the date that the ball was used and some other information about that game and potentially the pitcher and hitter of that specific baseball. And then that right beneath it will be the date of the signing and where that took place and all the information with that on there. So you get, as the life of that ball continues, that information's logged into the database.
Okay, well, let's say I have a 2005 Jermaine Dye White Sox game-worn jersey that's MLB authenticated, and I want to get Jermaine Dye to sign that and have it go into your database. Is there somebody from MLB I can contact about doing that? How does a fan do that if they already have an item?
Right now, the system isn't really set up as a one-off type system or kind of an a la carte. We do have a number of partners that are licensees of Major League Baseball, such as Steiner Sports, Fanatics Authentics, Major League Baseball Alumni Association, and they quite often have signings with a pretty big roster of players, and a lot of them allow for fans to send items in. And they certainly, fans can certainly reach out to Major League Baseball and get into contact with us, and we can link them up with these partners so that, you know, should Jermaine Dye be doing a signing in 6 months, they would be able to make arrangements through that licensee to get something done.
Hmm. So how big is your database? And do you have an updated how many items you actually have in your database that are authenticated by MLB as game used or officially signed items?
As of this moment, there's a little bit north of 6.1 million unique items in that database.
So you guys have...
It's backed up nightly, so don't worry. It's in 3 different places.
That's good.
So should anything ever happen, we're good to go.
That's good. So you hired, from Will Levith's article on Esquire.com, it looks like you're the guy in charge of hiring independent contractors who go to, there's at least one at every ballpark for every regular season, spring training, all-star game, playoffs, World Series, correct?
Well, yeah, I do not handle the hiring, and we actually specifically separate that so that I'm not making decisions as to who's going to be authenticating stuff, because we want to keep as much of a separation to the third party as possible. That hiring is actually done solely through Authenticators Inc. and in conjunction with the MLB Security Department to do background checks. And obviously the MLB Security Department has contacts at all the local law enforcement agencies, whichever market we're looking to hire people. And they reach out, they get recommendations, and then they go through an interview process just like most people would for any job. But as this process is set up, there is no one who can send in a resume and say, hey, I'm interested in becoming an authenticator. It's done in reverse, and where we reach out, get 2 or 3 names based on recommendations from either, you know, police chiefs or lieutenants in the local police department, and then go out and ask them if they're interested in being in the program.
Is there like a help wanted site on MLB.com or something, if somebody is interested in this, where they can go to see what markets have availabilities?
No, we don't. We really work it in reverse. We don't want to have fans or collectors necessarily. Obviously, you know, the men and women who are working as authenticators do understand the game of baseball, but we don't want a fan in a situation or a collector in a situation where it could get us into some potential issues down the road. This is really about transparency and really about having the right people for what the program requires, which is really like, you know, evidence collection, which is why we lean toward using and only use law enforcement officials.
Now, when a potential historic event or moment is could be happening, we'll use A-Rod's home run number 661. Was that an item where you were had some sort of a pre-labeling on it where if it did go into the stands and somebody brought it to you, you would know in advance?
We generally use that for round numbers or if there's a major milestone being set. So we hadn't done 660 before. We hadn't done RBI things before. In the case of Alex Rodriguez, we didn't do it in this time either. He's getting closer, though, to 700 home runs, and I think he's pretty close to 3,000 hits. And, you know, once we get to those milestones, we will definitely start the marking program to ensure that we know which ball is the actual ball.
So for
and
Jeter's, for Jeter's 3,000th hit, you did that. Can you explain how you did that with the baseballs where when he finally did get his 3,000th hit and it was a home run, you knew that was the ball?
Yep. Yeah, well, we could tell you most of it, but we'd have to kill you. No, I'm it's a little simple, but what we use is a technology that actually you need special equipment to actually see the marking. It is not a black light, and we've actually had people who can pull up black light markings on baseballs, and that marking is actually from Rawlings, a manufacturer, and they do that for their own tracking purposes. But we have another set of what we call covert marks on the baseball that only two or three people, and this is a fact, I didn't even know for a couple of the spots because I wasn't in a direct chain, but there's the marks are put on the ball, and then each baseball that goes into the game has a sequential letter number combination that we go over with the umpires before the game.
Wow.
And the balls are run into the game in sequence. So we know just from watching the game, you know, if a ball goes in the stands, we go from number one to number two, let's say. And then if that ball gets fouled off or comes out of play, we know number three is in the game. So we always know which number ball is in the game. And then once the ball goes into the stands, we'll look for ball number three. And if the fan can produce that, it's then taken back. We take the fan out of there for security reasons. And we take them out downstairs or wherever, verify that the covert markings that are supposed to be there are there. And once that's done, then we can place the hologram on it, and the ball is given back to the fan.
Great. Michael, it's time for a short break here. Would you be able to stay on with us after the break for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, great. This is Michael Postner, who heads up the MLB authentication program. He'll be on with us at least till about 7:30 or so. So hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of HugginsandScott.com. We have a guest for a few more minutes with us today, Michael Posner, who heads up the MLB authentication program. Some interesting stuff here, Michael. Now, you guys are at every game. Do you authenticate at least an item or two from every game you're at, or are there some games where nothing gets authenticated?
At this point in the program's history, there isn't a single game where we don't authenticate anything. It's pretty much there's a minimum collection now because all the clubs are involved in getting these items. There are plenty of people who are bringing their children to their first game, or it's their birthday or their anniversary, and they're going to want a game used ball or something like that. Or in the case of a great ballpark like Wrigley, you know, it's someone's first game there, and you know, a game used ball is a great memento to take home to kind of remember that event. But we have at least one authenticator at all 2,430 games on the schedule, plus All-Star Game, World Series, playoffs. We even do a lot of sessions in spring training. And there's always something going on.
Michael, have you ever had, this is Bill Huggins, have you had any issues with people forging your holograms? I know I've been working with this for years and years, and we've had items submitted to us with PSA holograms on them, and with JSA holograms on them, and these were counterfeit holograms.
Yeah. The company we work with is called OPSEC, and they're an East Coast company that's actually a government contractor, not only for the U.S. government, but for about another 15 or 20 governments around the world. And they will do technologies, security technologies for things from the White House ID badges to Iraqi passports and other government IDs. And in our particular case, we have a complete suite of technologies in the hologram that we use. And to date, I have never seen anyone even try to forge those holograms. In fact,
presented you guys with a forgery or anything yet. That's actually good news.
Yeah, it's really, really tricky. We meet with them with OPSEC every year to go over what we have, what security features we have. And, you know, as soon as we have something that's new, we'll go change those technologies so that we're always staying ahead of anyone who might try and forge it. And really the technologies are so expensive to do on a one-off event that it's really, really, really next to impossible for someone to duplicate our hologram.
I was looking
as I said, we have the ability, if someone takes the hologram off of a baseball or an item, the hologram will destroy itself. And on our website, which is MLB.com/authentication, you'll find not only an area for show what the holograms look like when they're destroyed, but there's other information and email addresses that if you want to contact us, you can always talk to us and we can take you through that whole process.
So there's a number on the hologram that if you're thinking of buying something, let's say somebody brought an item into Triple Crown and wanted to sell it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could read the number off of there, go to MLB.com/authentication and type in the number that's on that hologram and the item would come up there exactly what it is. Is that how it works?
That is correct. Each hologram we have has a two-letter and six-number combination on it, and it's all unique. So it's only used once, so only your item will have that. And every million holograms, we change the letter combination, and that way we can stay ahead of anything that's been in the market for a long time and keep things changing around so that forgers can't really catch up on the sequence either. And then you go there, you enter your hologram, and a little window will pop up, and it will give you all the information that's been entered along with that item. So if it's a game, use baseball, for instance, it will give you the date of the game. It will tell you who the pitcher was, who the hitter was, what inning the item was used, and then if there's any outcome. You know, was it a single, was it a foul of the screen, a strikeout, so on. And all of that information is contained based on that hologram number.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I actually checked the website. I think it was the Cubs page I went to and they had Jorge Soler's bat from when he hit two home runs. And then there was even a baseball that was used on April 27th, Vance Worley pitching to Addison Russell in his Wrigley Field debut in the third inning,
really?
You know, where
mm-hmm.
it gets that specific, and that's how it was mentioned, you know, on the site. That really is pretty cool when you think about it.
Yeah, you know, the access, and that's where MLB comes in to assist the Authenticators Inc. side of the program. We have the authenticator sitting right there next to the dugout on the field. And in fact, on that webpage where you verify your item, there's a little video that's about 2 or 3 minutes long that takes people through the whole process of how we're able to do all of this. And literally a ball, if it's fouled off, pitched in the dirt, the umpire tosses it to the ball boy, and the ball boy will turn around and hand it right to the authenticator sitting right there. And that's how we're able to get all that information on it. And that's really what's made what's made this program so successful, the ability that we can record history down to, you know, the pitch that it was used in, you know, makes this what it is.
Now, I like Carlos Rodon, who's a rookie pitcher for the White Sox. He made his first White Sox start last night, got
he
a win.
Very good yesterday.
He really did. He has some really good stuff. Yep. Almost Chris Sale-like
That's
stuff,
right.
I think. But now, would you have authenticated items of his, like his jersey or any balls that were used in that game? I mean, typically, I don't know, you specifically probably wouldn't know off the top of your head, but typically would that jersey be made available to him, or will that be on the White Sox website? Where would somebody go to look for that item?
It really depends. I would say if it was his first start, I'm sure I would know that the authenticators would have checked in and say, all right, you know, is he doing anything like his cleats, his glove, his jersey? And, you know, that's really up to the player and the club in terms of whether that becomes available after that. But in most cases, the players keep it. But, you know, pitches that he threw in the game, baseballs from that game, that's definitely something that might be available. And we're certainly there to record that. And that's really why we have someone at every game. You don't know when someone's going to get their first action in a game. Pitcher a little bit, you know, you kind of know when a pitcher's scheduled to start, but, you know, you don't know if someone's going to throw a no-hitter. You don't know if someone's going to hit four home runs in a game or hit for the cycle. And that's why we're there every night, because history is made every night in baseball, and we want to be there to record that.
Do guys ever say, you know, I just hit four home runs with that bat, I don't want to give this up? Does that happen?
It's not a matter of giving it up. One of the stories I like to tell is, obviously, we're present at every World Series game along with the authenticators. And because, you know, there's a lot going on, we have two or three authenticators working any particular World Series game, because you just don't know what's going to happen. So Albert Pujols hits three home runs in, I want to say game three back in 2011. And, you know, the first thing he did when he came off the field is he was looking for me and the authenticator who I had with me, because I knew he probably wanted to do something. We were waiting by the locker. And he handed me his bat and his shoes and took off his jersey and his cap, handed it all over to us to get authenticated. And that stuff went back to the player. And, you know, whatever happens with that down the line, we're really agnostic to it.
So he could still use a bat after you don't put a sticker on it or something? I mean, would it still be usable?
We can do a couple of different things. If you look at some of the video from 2008, you'll see Evan Longoria has a hologram on the knob of his bat.
Oh.
He hit a home run with it, and he wanted it authenticated, and we did that, and then he kept using the bat, and I think he hit a couple more home runs with it, so he got some good use out of it. But it's really up to the player. If a player is retiring a bat, they'll tell us, and we can put the hologram in a different location, and we give it back to him.
Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions. Bill, do you ever get items that are MLB authenticated like that, that somebody will bring in to you for a Huggins and Scott auction? Has that happened?
Oh yes, numerous times. I mean, it's something that we love that, because it takes, like Michael was saying, the question of authenticity right off the table, and then it's just really up to our bidders, how much is it worth to them?
Yeah, boy, it really does seem like, I mean, just historically it holds up.
Now, have any of the other sports decided to do the similar thing, NBA, NFL, NHL, to your knowledge, Michael?
There is no other sport doing anything remotely close to us. And, you know, I think that's unfortunate, only from the sake of, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, as they say. And I think the more that other sports get involved with a program like this, it just helps everybody.
Why aren't they?
It's not necessarily, well, you know, it's an expensive undertaking. You know, we put a lot of money and a lot of time. This started back in 2001. So we're in our 15th season of doing this and, you know, reaching a critical mass where people know about it. But taking the business side away from it for a second, you know, every sport has its history. You know, personally, I'm obviously going to be biased because I'm a huge baseball fan and I work for the league. And I think we're a sport more than any other that's defined by our history. So to be able to record the history, it's important. But whether it's, you know, the NHL or whether it's the NBA or the NFL, you know, history is made in those sports too, obviously. And I think to be able to record that and be able to say, hey, this is the last puck used in the Stanley Cup, or, you know, just like we can say, this is the last out from the World Series. It's not a matter of selling the item. it's a matter of saying for the point of history, you know, this is the item. And we know that for a fact because we have this system in place. So we've certainly talked to other leagues about it, and, you know, I can't really speak for them. I know, you know, for baseball, it's, again, it's about the history, it's about the sport, and the fans and the collectors really, really love it, and I've been told many, many times, you know, how great it is to have this program. You know, it obviously sounds like, you know, there are a lot of auction companies that use it too, and that's, you know, it helps everybody, and I think it's important to have it for the industry.
Well, this is
Michael. Your industry would be harder to do than anybody because I'm sure there are more baseballs used in any game than there are footballs, basketballs, or hockey pucks in an actual game. So to keep track of that many of them is all these other leagues could learn from you on a much smaller scale.
Absolutely. I certainly agree with that. And again, I think it's about looking at it as from an industry standpoint of, you know, baseball, forget, let's take sports out of the equation. You know, celebrities and musicians have their autographs forged more than just about anybody. And to take all that guesswork out of it for the people who are, you know, who wish to spend hard-earned money on these items because they're a fan, a collector, or whatever, or they want to get a great birthday present for someone, you know, that's a big thing. You know, and again, I come to it from the angle of someone who spent money on fake autographs. You know, I have a Joe DiMaggio baseball that, you know, it's probably one chance in four that it might be real, and the odds may be less than that. I don't know. And that's the biggest problem. I don't know if Joe DiMaggio actually signed that baseball, and I really don't have a very good way of finding that out. And this takes all the guesswork out of it.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'm really glad we had you on. If maybe sometime in the future we'd like to have you on again, Michael, because this is some great information. And like you said, all collectors, this is great information for all collectors, no matter what you collect. So I really appreciate you coming on. And everybody check out the website again, Michael, that they can check out for items.
Yep, my pleasure to be here. I appreciate you guys bringing me on. I'd love to come back anytime. I love talking about this. This is, like I said, I've been doing this since I was 12, and I like the fact that we can, you know, help people out. That website, again, is MLB.com/authentication. That's where you can verify any item that has the MLB authentication program hologram. And if you go down a little further in the page, you will see an email address so that if you ever have any questions, no matter what those questions are, we're happy to get them. We're happy to talk to our fans. We love doing it. It's one of the fun parts of this job. And send us an email, and you know, we'll help you out if you have any questions, and we're happy to hear from you.
Ah, great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on with us. All right, well, it's time for another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. So now till 8, you can call in with questions, and we're still going to do a drawing, give away a box of Donruss baseball. So get your calls in now, 312-332-3776. We're on till 8.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, you can call us 312-332-3776, or you can tweet me a question either during the show or during the week. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Al from Tinley Park, who's a loyal radio show listener, actually sent me an email with a picture of an item. Al actually paints, is an artist. He hand-painted this. You got to go check my Twitter. And look at this. Bobby Hall, I love this painting of him.
This is really cool looking.
On a Blackhawks jersey that Bobby Hall signed, and it's this old, when Bobby Hall was young and holding up that 50-goal puck next to him. Great photo. I'm telling you, Al should contact the card companies about being one of the artists. You know when they do those one-on-one sketch cards and sometimes they have them signed?
I've had a bunch of them.
Yeah. Don't you think this is better than the majority of them
as
that are
good
on
or
there?
Not, if not better.
There's some very good artists in that and some very weak artists, yep, and yep. Al would be towards the top.
Absolutely.
So, Al, check it out. And we've got a lot of callers waiting already here, so let's start it right off with Matt from Elk Grove. What do you have there, Matt?
Hey, guys. I have an autographed football from Mike Ditka, one of those white and
white panel football, huh?
Yeah.
From Dakota.
ESPN.
I would say that's probably in the $75 to $100 range right now. He's not a real tough signature, but there will always be a demand for the coach's signature. Todd from St. Charles is on the line. What's up, Todd?
Yeah, I have a pair of Michael Jordan game-worn autographed shoes that I won at the Charity Bulls raffle.
Ooh.
Nice.
Nice. Now, do they say what game they're from, or is it from a finals game, or...
It was from the 70-win season, and it was the Philadelphia game that I won them at.
Huh, really? Bill, have you had game-worn Michael Jordan shoes in a Huggins and Scott auction recently?
Yeah, I believe we have. They get several thousand dollars depending on how big the game was or how big of an event it was. But, no, if they've got great provenance, there's a lot of people that have, so to speak, Jordan shoes. But if you've got great provenance with that, Todd, that's a great item.
That would be a nice Huggins and Scott August auction item, wouldn't it, Bill?
Oh, 100%. They look good in our showcase.
Yeah. Now, you're going to have a showcase set up at the National that runs right at the end of July into early August with some of your auction items on display there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have actually 8 showcases full of stuff that we're going to be bringing out. That it's actually, the auction will be live during the show. People can actually bid on it any day of the show, and then it ends the following Thursday after the show.
And you can go, listeners can go to HugginsandScott.com right now. Every day they're adding items to preview of the June auction where the bidding starts June 1st. And I've got to mention one item.
Please do.
We've talked on the show before where I had a customer who had all these mainly 1950s trains in their original boxes. We sent 3 big boxes full of stuff to Huggins and Scott for the June auction. And if you go and look in the Americana section and the other part of it, towards the bottom there's a listing where it says 22 trains or whatever. But they actually have a video where the guys at Huggins and Scott put some of the track together with like 3 of the engines, and they've got a 25-second video of the train going around the track.
That's very cool. Yeah. I got it on right now in front of me. Neat? That is amazing.
I love that you guys did that, Bill. That's something that I hope you do more of that. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, the guys had a blast.
I bet they did. I bet they did. They had fun, and everybody that's bidding know it actually works, so it killed 2 birds with 1 stone there. Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was nice. Frank from Evergreen Park is on the line. What do you have there, Frank?
Yes.
Hello, Frank. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I have a golf cart. I was playing golf at a Oakbrook Country Club in the 90s. And Michael Jordan and another couple of basketball players were playing with the pro in back of us.
Hmm.
And they approached us and asked if they could play through. We let them play through on the condition that Michael would sign our golf card.
That away, Frank. Use your leverage. Way to go.
He did sign it, and he hit, it was a par 3, and he hit the ball in the water. He teed up another ball. But listen, I just want to know, where can I get an idea where I gave it to my daughter. I wonder if you can tell me where I can get it authenticated, that what is this worth?
Well, what do you think, Bill? Maybe 200 or 300 for that scorecard? It might be worth more to Frank just to have it as a story. That's a great story. But do you think it's more than 200 or 300, Bill?
I'd guess that, Tom, that's the range, maybe 300 to 500 on its best day. A Michael Jordan golf scorecard is, signed scorecard is very desirable, and there aren't many of those out there compared to basketballs or jerseys or things like that. So if he wanted
to run that in a Huggins and Scott auction, would you want to take that in and have JSA authenticated for him?
Yeah, we would. However, I think what you said, this thing has way more prank appeal than it does anybody else.
I think so. Yeah, I think you should get that framed and with some like little plaque underneath it that says he did hit the ball in the water when he played. Yes. Barkley wasn't one of the basketball players with him, was he?
No, it wasn't.
I could see Barkley hitting a few in the water. Have you ever seen his golf swing? That is the ugliest swing I've ever
seen.
Based
on how I've been golfing lately, I have nothing bad to say about Barkley's golfing.
So last week you felt like Barkley out there.
I certainly did, yes.
Now this is, today, happy Mother's Day to everyone today. And I wanted to say, with the rain out there, it's the perfect thing for golfers. Honey, you know what? It's Mother's Day. I think I won't golf today. I'll stay home with you.
That's right.
Hubby, it's raining out. You can't go. But you know what, guys? You can make yourself look good by staying home with the wife today rather than golfing.
There you go.
Joe from the Northwest Side. What do you have, Joe?
Good morning, Tom. Tom, you know, during the 100th anniversary game at Wrigley Field last year, I caught a foul ball and a fly in the upper deck off Paul Goldschmidt, Arizona Diamondback.
Cool.
They were the Kansas City Packers that game. Right from Zamarja to Goldschmidt to my hands. Now, the MLB hologram, you know, I mean, between the value of the ball itself, because the ball has a special date on it that they used for that one game only.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the date on there, you know, with the MLB logo on it, official ball and stuff. What would be the value of something like that, and how would I be able to get a hologram for that?
Okay, the way Michael Posner explained it, you wouldn't be able to get a hologram on that ball. And this is something that I had thought originally until I heard how they work this whole thing. They have to be 100% certain that it wasn't a ball that was replaced or whatever, that it, exactly what it is when they're using a hologram on a ball. They wouldn't be able to authenticate that. You almost have to use that more as a story. You've got your ticket probably still, the ball and everything. You've got the ball, so people know it was from that game, and you've got the story that goes with it. I can tell you a quick story. When my kids were young, my family went to a White Sox game. My oldest son was sick with like strep throat the day before. We took him to the doctor to make sure he could go to the game the next day. He did. He's holding the cotton candy. We were sitting on the left field line. Rafael Palmeiro was batting against Jack McDowell. And this was actually, I'm pretty sure, was Nolan Ryan's last pitched game in Chicago. He was the pitcher for Texas at the time. But Palmeiro hits the foul ball off of McDowell. All these fans are jumping up, going for it. My son, who still wasn't feeling that great, not real energized, holding the cotton candy. The ball goes right underneath his seat. He's got the cotton candy held up in the air, reaches down, picks up the ball, and goes
really?
Like this. You know, that will never be able to be authenticated. But what we did, we took that ball, we put it in a ball and card holder, and he still has it. We know it's real. You'll know, and your friends will real. But MLB will not be able to authenticate that because they weren't there to authenticate it.
But that is one game that the only time I ever recalled them stamping a baseball with the date on it.
Yes. Well, you know, what you might want to do is try to contact them and see if they can do anything. I don't think so, but what I would do if I were you is at the minimum try to get Goldschmidt to sign it, because that guy's a stud.
Oh, yeah. Because it's not like it was a special at bat, milestone at bat or anything.
And it's
like
a foul ball, but it's still cool.
It was a foul ball from that game, and it is all rubbed up, right from Zamarja to Goldschmidt's bat, right in my glove.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, great story.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
So now we have the cotton candy game
in
our memory.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
That's
just
cool.
the way that he, the look on his face, too, and he holds it up like, of course I got it, you know what I mean? All right, we have Stephen from Benton Harbor is on the line. What's up, Stephen?
I have a program from the opening ceremonies of the 96 Atlanta Olympic Games, and I have it signed by Muhammad Ali, and he actually signed it 11 times.
11 times? Wow. Now, was there any significance to that?
Well, he's the one, that's the Olympic ceremonies where he's lit the torch, the opening ceremony torch. And so anybody that attended the opening ceremonies was received a program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took it. He used to live in Berrien Springs, and I had my parents take it down to him. And he said he'd never seen it, and he started flipping through it and just kept signing it.
Really? So, like, as he was going through pages, he kept signing pages in it?
Exactly.
Oh, no, that's cool. What do you think of that, Bill, the fact that that was the Olympics where he lit it, right?
Yes, Lit the Torch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Atlantic, 1996 Atlanta.
What do you think of that, Bill?
Well, that's a great. Why did he sign it 11 times? Were there 11 different pictures of him throughout the book? Is that what it was?
No, he just kept signing it because he hadn't seen it. And I asked my mother to take it down when she was visiting him to see if he would sign it. And he just kept signing it.
That's kind of like Vince's LeBron 12-time signature. You know, he's probably thought it was cool. He's going through it. I'll sign this. Yep, I'll sign the page.
But it was 16, exactly. By the way. But moving right along.
Okay. So, Bill Huggins, you would want to auction that item, wouldn't you? If he ever did want to sell it?
That's a vintage autograph of Ali. I mean, you're looking at thousands of dollars for something like that.
Along with the tie-in for where he lit it. Oh, my gosh, that's an awesome item. You probably want to keep it in your family, Stephen, but, boy, if you ever want to sell it, Bill Huggins at Huggins & Scott Auctions. His phone number is 301-608-0355.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good story. Eli from Orlando, Florida is on the line. What's up, Eli?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Well, I've got a game. I know for a fact it's a game issued with the letter of authenticity for Michael Jordan's a Michael Jordan jersey from 1995-96. Now, I'm just curious, what's the difference in value between a game issued and a game worn?
That's a good question for Bill. Obviously, if you can prove it was worn in a game, it is more valuable. Is there a certain percentage that it usually works out to be, or does it just depend on the player and the item, Bill?
Well, I mean, a lot of the basketball jerseys that we get show very, very, very little use. So it's not like an old-time flannel baseball jersey where you got stitches and markings and all that on them. So, I mean, if it is game issued with all his perfect specifications and everything, I don't know how somebody could prove that it wasn't game worn versus the one that was. If there is a way to do that, yes, it would affect the price. But game issued and game worn on basketball jerseys, they don't get much different as far as value goes.
So it's really hard to find out then between game worn and game issued, because I know for a fact it has all the markings. I have a letter of authenticity for the autograph that was signed by Michael Jordan. It's from the 95-96 season, which we all know is the greatest.
Who's the letter of authenticity from?
It's from a company in New York, JSA, I believe.
Okay. All right. Now, do you have an estimate for what that might sell for in a Huggins & Scott auction, Bill?
Oh, that's probably $5,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Eli, are you going to give Bill Huggins a call?
Yeah, I definitely am.
Okay, 301-608-0355. That would be a great item for the August Huggins and Scott auction, because they'll have items on display at the National in Rosemont.
What a weekend that's going to be.
Oh, that will be amazing. Big, yeah.
Yep.
So thanks for the – Eli, you listening online, or does AM1000 come in down there?
ESPN radio app on my iPhone.
Oh, very good. Okay, thanks, Eli. Thanks for the call. Well, sorry for anybody else who tried to call through today. We didn't have as much time, but Michael Posner from the head of the authentication for MLB, what a guest. That was some great information. We should have a rebroadcast on tcrowntom.com that'll be up, should be later today if you want to hear Michael. Great information. Time to do the drawing now.
And this week's winner is going to be Joe from the Northwest Side. So, Joe, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. Send me your address, and I'll send it out to you free of charge.
Very good. You have to do that by Friday to get in the box in. It's a 2015 Donruss baseball box that we were actually giving away this week. Bill Huggins, don't forget now, bidding starts June 1st on the June Huggins and Scott auction. Go to HugginsandScott.com. More items added every day. A lot of great items up there already. Cards, memorabilia, all kinds of things. Go to HugginsandScott.com. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Have a great day. And don't forget, we're on every week, every Sunday, 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Have a good one. Thanks.
The preceding program was a paid advertisement. The views reflected are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.